scripture in this morning does come from the book of Haggai, in the second chapter, in the first 9 verses found there, Haggai 2, 1 through 9. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of the nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. The word of the Lord. And I will fill this house with glory. If you were to assess the current state of your house, you might come to the conclusion that it is a little bit less than glorious. If I were to ask you, what does your house look like? You might have a lot of explanations. Well, it needs new carpet, it needs some new floor, and it needs some new cabinets, it needs some fresh paint. It's the time to do some updating. We're always thinking about updating or rebuilding or making it a little better than it is. Because when we first moved into that house, we had some ideas of what it would be like. We had some visions of what it might be. It was kind of a glorious feeling when you first move into a house. And whether it's already as it should be, or if you begin to put your finishing touches on it, you prepare that house to be lived in. It is a place for you, and a hope and dream for it, that you can fill this house, your house, with glory. How can you do that? How do you fill a house with glory? Think about that for a moment. First, a little background on Haggai, because you want to know all about it. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, because you're all experts on Haggai. Because when I came and you said, oh, good, Haggai, my favorite, good Haggai person, I know all about Haggai. Sounds like a cartoon, doesn't it? Haggai, you've been asking yourself, when is Thomas finally going to preach a sermon on Haggai? Well, the day has come, and we'll see what we're going to do. It is the second shortest book. I don't know if the sermon will be equitable, but the second shortest book, only to Obadiah, minor prophets, as again, not by because they're less important, but called minor because there's less words involved. And it covers some oracles between August the 29th and December the 18th of 520 B.C. It was a good year, don't you remember? It was a long time ago, and it's a very short period in the history of God's people. It's a 4-month ministry cycle. Haggai's ministry lasts only 4 months. What can you do in 4 months? Well, sometimes a lot can be done in a short amount of time. Just perhaps 20 years prior to the proclamation in the book of Haggai in 539, Cyrus the Great of Persia conquers the Babylonian king, and things change. The exiles that were gone from their homes are allowed to come back, and they're given the freedom to resettle into their lands and to rebuild their ruined temple. Solomon's temple was a place of glory. Solomon's temple is where everybody looked to. Solomon's temple was a place that said, God is here and God is present in our lives. But then a foreign power took them. took them to a foreign land, and they lived there for generations until they were finally allowed to return home. And headed up by Ezra, that's just what they do, that some of the exiles return. But life was probably better or more familiar in Babylon, because the good news was there was the possibility of going home. The bad news was that the exiles found a less than ideal situation when they returned to Jerusalem. Their temple had been destroyed. Can you imagine? This is a place you come to worship. It's just destroyed. I mean, just gone. There's some stones left. There's a few reminders of where the temple once stood, but it was destroyed. So they come back from a foreign land. They look at that and they start a foundation. But then for 17 years, nothing happens. 17 years. Some of you have got a list at your house on the refrigerator for things to get done, right? Sometimes it feels like 17 years. How many times are we going to ask you for that thing to be done? Hopefully it hasn't been 17 years that the list still remains on the refrigerator door. But it was a constant reminder to the people of God that once was glorious, this temple that even foreign lands looked at with envy. It was destroyed, and all the gold and silver perhaps taken out, anything of worth was stripped from that temple. And there was just a constant reminder of what was. Sometimes we live with constant reminders of what was. And that's what is happening for the people of God. And then they get this word that says, start building the temple. And if you read up a little earlier in Haggai, in the first chapter, in the 8th verse, there is this word of God that says, go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build a house. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build the house. There's a reminder that it's time. It's time. For 17 years you looked at this. It's time. Start rebuilding. And on the first day of the 6th month of the 2nd year of King Darius' reign, the word of the Lord came to Haggai and told him to tell the people, start building the temple. It's now. And they did. They organized a work crew and started putting the temple back together. Every once in a while we get a word. I don't know how it comes to us. Maybe we feel a presence in our heart. Maybe someone tells us and it sticks. Sometimes we get a word of God, and whatever, maybe that comes to us in prayer. Maybe it comes to us by the word of others. But we realize that it's time to start doing something that we've been putting off for altogether too long. It is the same God of Haggai that calls us to build, to reprioritize our lives, to start over, to do those things we've been meaning to do for a long time, or to start again when something tragic has happened in our lives. What are you being called to build? Or maybe what are you being called to rebuild? What kind of glory can you bring to your house? And how do you do that? How do you rebuild after life? After cancer or treatment? How do you rebuild a life after failures? How do you rebuild and start after years of neglect or sameness? You've done the same things for the past 17 years. All of us have our own stories. All of us have things that we need to do, houses we need to rebuild, glory that needs to be restored. And when we start over, we sometimes come to the realization, and maybe even say the words, it's not going to be the same. It will never be the same. When you experience great loss in your life, when you've lived a life mundanely for a long period of time and you remember how things were and you look back at those days and think those were really glorious times, and then we start to work to try to put things back together in place, we come to this realization, it may never look like that again. And that's the story of Haggai. They remember Solomon's temple. They remember that first temple had been built with lumber from Lebanon, the furnishings from all over the world. And this house that they're starting has mesquite wood, and it looks like garage sale furnishings. It looks nothing like what they remember. They remember the house that had silver and gold and it was splendor. And this just looks like something a child would make. This looks like a tree house compared to a place of splendor. God's house doesn't look the same. That first temple had been a magnificent structure, crafted by imported artisans and ornamented by skilled craftsmen. And the scriptures say that it took like 30,000 Israelites cutting and transporting timber, and 80,000 stone cutters, and 70,000 laborers, and 3,300 supervisors. That's what the scriptures say. I don't know if that's... It was this huge thing that was taking place. It took 7 years to complete that temple and another 13 years to finish the palace that was in that place. And when these people that Haggai speaks to start to rebuild the temple, they say it won't be the same. They started off with a little enthusiasm. Yeah, we'll put it back together. Yeah, we'll get it back together. Sometimes you say that. We'll get the old band back together. Maybe you played in a band when you were, we'll get it back together, and you feel and realize that your fingers don't move and you're not a rock and roll star anymore, and it's not going to look the same. Sometimes we start things again and realize it's not going to be the same. The people of Haggai become quickly discouraged to the point of saying, why waste our time if we can't make it like it used to be? And the words that are captured in the scripture are, who of you left saw this house with its former glory? How does it look to you now? It's frustrating in life to try to start over, isn't it? When you lose things. It's difficult in life when we try to recoup or rebuild or make things good again. And so sometimes we make lesser choices. That's the threat. That's what could happen to the people of Haggai. The word comes to them, you've built yourselves great houses. But God's house lies in ruins. You found different priorities, and you say to yourselves, it's not time to rebuild. It's not time because we just can't do it. And the word says, how is that working for you? You know you have the skills, you have the abilities to rebuild. You've built your own houses, but God's house lies in ruins. And sometimes in life our priorities change. One time we were people who were very faithful. Sometimes we remember giving our all to the work of God. Sometimes we remember our spiritual lives were deep. But things happen, don't they? Sometimes our lives just fall apart. Or sometimes we just get trapped in the same mundane activities over and again. And so we reprioritize our lives, and our faith takes a back burner. That's kind of what Haggai speaks about. Your houses are looking okay. God's house lies in ruins. And I know it's just stones, but is there a constant reminder in that community of the people's faith that is gone? For 17 years, there was nothing but just an inkling of a foundation. For 17 years, what's to be done? Haggai says a few phrases that I think are important. Give careful thought. In the first chapter, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes. Give careful thought to the day when the foundations were laid. Give careful thought. Ever locked your keys inside the car? That happens, doesn't it? Not pointing anybody fingers. I'm just saying it happens, right? And what do you say when you lock your key? Well, please don't repeat what you say when you lock your keys. This is a church house and I don't really want to hear. But I understand when you do that, you go, ah, what was I thinking? You know, what was I thinking? Because you know you're not supposed to lock your keys. It's not like you do it on purpose, right? But you get distracted and you think about other things, and for whatever reason, you lock your keys in the car. Have you ever mailed an envelope without putting the check inside? Don't do that just because the company really wants their money. Oh, I forgot. No, sometimes you mail things and you look, ah, I've already sealed the envelope. I've really licked the whole thing. Now I got to cut it all out and start all over. For used to be a few cents, but now it's getting more and more cents, right? Have you ever sealed the envelope before you put the contents in there. And you think, what was I thinking? Have you ever made a recipe, fulfilled the recipe, and got done with the product and realized you left out one of the ingredients? Sometimes in life we don't think very carefully, and we careless thinking can be minimal consequences, but sometimes of greater consequence. As people of faith, we are called to give careful thought to the things that we believe, and then to, the scriptures say, Haggai repeats, be strong. Be strong now, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Be strong, all you people. I love when I get to say those words in church, because I always wonder how they'll come out. And I always say them fast, like I know how they're supposed to be pronounced. So you'll look at me and say, he really knows what he's talking about. But I like to say Zerubbabel, because you can put as many B's as you want to in there. I love to say these words, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. But is it just a long time ago? And what does it mean to repeat these? These were the leaders. Be strong, leaders. Be strong, priests. Be strong, all the people. It's a reminder that all of us, whether we're teaching a class or leading a group of children or are sitting in the pew and singing a hymn or offering a prayer, all of us are called to be strong. Three times here, the call is be strong. Throughout the scriptures, we find this call when Moses has passed away and Joshua must lead the people of God into the promised land. The word of God is be strong. When David was old and about to die, he told the new king, young Solomon, to be strong over and again. Because why? Because sometimes we're not. Sometimes when we should be strong, we are weak. Sometimes when we need to stand strong, we peel back. Sometimes when we need to have a spine, we have less than a spine that stands up in difficult times. Be strong. How do we do that? I know we need to be strong. How am I strong? The scriptures say, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. And he gives power to the weak, and even youths will grow tired and weary, and young shall stumble and fall. But they who hope, they that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and they shall not faint. Be strong in the Lord is what Paul says in the letter to the church at Ephesus. Be strong and in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong, for I am with you, is what the book of Haggai says. Be strong, for I am with you. You do your part and I will do my part. You do your part and I will do my part. The people were discouraged because they started a project. The people were discouraged because they didn't think they had enough resources. The people were discouraged because they didn't think the new house would be as glorious as the old house. The people were discouraged, and they were called and reminded to build the house. Go up in the mountains and bring down the timber. Let go of what was and look for what's coming. It may not look like it once did. When you start rebuilding your lives and putting your house back together, it might not look like it once did. And I'm sorry. And I cry with you. It doesn't look like it did yesterday. And that's painful. And that cuts us to the very heart of who we are. But we are called not to stay there where we were, to let go of what was and to look for what that is coming. Go in the mountains and cut down the timber and build the house. I don't know the answers. I don't know how to do this. I don't know. Just start chopping on the tree. Just put your feet to action. Put your hands to work. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber. I don't know the answers of how the house will rebuild. I don't know the answers of how glorious it will be. Bring down the timber and bring the resources. But it's not enough, is it? Got to go to Nashville this week and to hold my grandbaby. And I got to go to Nashville this week and participate in a symposium, which is a big word for a bunch of church folks getting together. I got to go and see her, my daughter preach a message on the five loaves and the two fishes. You remember that story? When Jesus said, when the crowds gathered around, they're hungry, and the disciples said, well, what are they going to do? And he said, you give them something to eat. What do you got? Five loaves and two fish. That's never enough. It's never enough. He said, bring it here. Bring it here. Sometimes it doesn't seem enough. Sometimes it doesn't seem that the resources that we have are enough. And sometimes we have fallen and sometimes we're broken. I agree with all those things. But we are called and reminded we don't have to stay in the brokenness. We're called and reminded that it's not all about what we do. It's about bringing what we have and seeing what God can do with it. You bring down the timber, and I'll help you build the house. And I will fill this house with glory. And the glory of this house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Wow. That's saying a lot. Solomon's temple was a standard for the ages. Solomon's temple was glorious. Solomon's temple was, we can't make it that big, that expensive. But guess what? Doesn't have to be like that house to be glorious. Doesn't have to be like it was to be glorious. Let go of what was and look for what is coming, because God is still building the house. God is building your house, and God can use your hands, and God can use your resources. Think about what we could be in this place. We don't have to be what we were so many years ago. We don't have to be the same people that we were. When I came to this church, I was a young pastor. I think about that all the time. I still think of myself. You know what? That was 1995. I was younger than I am today. I don't want to have to do the math. But I went to the symposium in Nashville, and I realized I'm one of the old preachers now. I don't like that. I don't like that. I look around, and there's these young people that are preaching wonderful messages, and these young people that are giving wonderful thoughts, and there's young people that are building the life of the church, and I think, I'm one of the old guys now. Guess what? It doesn't have to be like it once was. It doesn't have to look like it once did. Go up in the mountains and bring down the timber. You don't know what it might look like. You don't know how it will all be put back together. You don't know. I don't know. But I have this promise from the scriptures. It says, and in this place, I will grant peace. In this place, I will grant peace. I pray peace for you in your house. I pray peace for you where you live and you breathe. I can never promise you it'll be the same. I can never promise you it'll be like it was before. But it can still be a place of glory. Whether it's your house at home, whether it's your job at work, whether it's this place, let's just remember that our strength is in the one who has called us, and not on our own. In this place, I will grant peace. May the peace that passes all understanding rest and abide with you this day and all your days to come. Let us pray. God of glory,